Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call. Thank you for joining us, and we're doing a special show this week. I'm Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Nancy Brinkley.
Sharon Bahakis.
Tammy Gillette.
Susan Lucas.
We're going to be talking today about the Constitution. This is Constitution Week, and we are lucky enough to be joined by some ladies from the Daughters of the American Revolution, who are going to help educate us and help us celebrate Constitution Week. So would one of you start us off?
Well, why don't I start? This is Susan. The Daughters of the American Revolution, as an organization, was founded 125 years ago by women who were frustrated at the lack of avenues for them to demonstrate their patriotism. There are over 1 million members nationwide, and the motto is God, Home, and Country. Our chapter, the Richard Dobbs Bates chapter, is 101 years old. We have about 180 members, and we do a variety of things for our organization and for our community. We serve veterans at the Kinston Veteran Home. We serve lunch at Veterans Day. We collect layout items for pregnant veterans, and we serve current duty families at Cherry Point, specifically the children. We also have a focus on education. We go into the schools and talk to them. A big focus of Constitution Week is on reminding children about the importance of the Constitution and what it means to them in their everyday life.
You're talking about the freedoms that the Constitution says the government cannot take away from
us. That's right. Mm-hmm. And how fortunate we are to have them.
Yes.
That makes us unique as a country.
Mm-hmm.
We saw one example recently of the value of freedom of speech when a Finnish legislator in Finland, woman, put a Bible verse or quoted a Bible verse during an interview, and she is now facing jail time.
That's right. I saw that.
And we also have the situation where one of our western states, I believe it's New Mexico, has declared a health emergency and has suspended the Second Amendment. That will be in court, I'm sure, very quickly. The good news on that is the sheriff of the county has said he will not enforce that law. That is why your sheriff is a very important official. Choose them carefully.
So as an organization, you serve, at least this chapter serves mostly the New Bern area.
Craven, Jones, and Pamlico counties.
Wow.
Okay. Nice. I'd like to express my gratitude for the Daughters of the American Revolution. When I was traveling with my kids, and like a lot of people out there take their kids or their grandchildren on vacation, you go to a lot of sites that are preserved or funded by the Daughters of the American Revolution, like Patrick Henry up there in Virginia, close by. And when you see that, you're just so humbled that these ladies work so hard to preserve history and to honor our flag and to know its history and to fight to really support our Constitution. They were some brave ladies back then, and we need to be bold and brave again.
There were some very brave women. When you look around the city of New Bern, you see a lot of historic markers, and the Daughters are responsible for many of them. We're seriously into historic preservation and conservation. So one of the ways we give back to the community is by participating in Operation Clean Sweep. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of other volunteer opportunities as well, such as volunteering at Mercy Clinic or up at the hospital. Last year, we donated more than 5,000 hours of community service to New Bern.
Wow.
And the most famous spot I think that almost every student should know or knows is the Richard Dobbs Spate Cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's a pretty cool place to start.
It's out on Madam Moore's Lane.
It is. Mm-hmm. And our whole organization is based on volunteering. And so it is strictly a volunteer organization. Those volunteers are supported by committees. Our chapter alone at Richard Dobbs Spate, we have over 30 committees. And some of those are the things that Susan was talking about. And that's how we get so many things done. part of that is taking care of Richard Dobbs Bates Cemetery and taking care of the markers, taking care of so many things that are important not only to New Bern but Craven County, such as our Service to Veterans Committee as well. So we do a lot to help our veterans in this area. We have 20,000 veterans in Craven County, so about 20% of the population, and we try to take care of them as much as we can.
One of the things that impressed me when we moved to New Bern, we moved here about 10 years ago, is that right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We moved from Massachusetts, and when you live in Massachusetts, it's very easy to become something of a history snob. You know, you go up and you do the Freedom Trail, and you know, this is the old North Church, and this is where Mother Goose is buried, and this is where Sam Adams is buried, and you go to the old Oyster House, and, you know, you do the whole thing. I did not expect, coming to New Bern, to find that same reverence of history, and it's here. And it's wonderful that it's here.
And it's active.
It's very active. In fact, you know, we've always heard of the shot heard around the world.
Yes.
Which did not happen in New Bern. But we had pretty much the first protest.
Yes.
Because of the resolves that just mm-hmm. happened. We just celebrated the 249th anniversary of the resolves. And so next year will be big. It's the 250th. And that resolves actually resulted in the first provincial Congress. And then that's also got us going with the representation for Continental Congress. Mm-hmm. And people don't realize that New Bern played that role. We had the first two provincial congresses.
That's right.
And so while we don't always get the recognition in North Carolina as being that important, we now are starting to say, hey, we are the ones. We didn't necessarily want to be away from England at the time. We didn't necessarily want to break away, but we wanted to be treated fairly. We wanted to be able to not be taxed exorbitantly. We wanted to be able to have the ability to have goods and sold goods at a fair rate. And those things just were not happening at the time. So we had to take kind of, you know, matters into our own hands, and that's what they did. They said, we want these things that are not just. We want them taken care of. We want to be treated fairly, and that's where the resolves came.
Metaphorically, New Bern is North Carolina's Bunker Hill.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Well, a lot of people in history didn't realize that the very first meeting in direct opposition to British rule was actually here in New Bern. And later, of course, we went on to some of the documents we're going to talk about today and documented all those things up there in Philadelphia, and then Williamsburg comes along.
You know, as a challenge, now in today's education system, okay, and I'll put the education system in quotes because I think it's more of an indoctrination system than it is an education system. How do we get the kids today to learn that history, unless you learn about history, you're bound to repeat it?
You start them off in elementary school, and instead of spending money on some of the extra stuff that we're spending on, let's go ahead and get every school, because they're already wired up for internet, joined into genealogy societies, and start the children in elementary school tracing their own family history and building up their own genealogy tree. Then they learn what was going on in the world and the country and locally and how their ancestors participated in it. If you can attach history directly to them through people that they come from, they're going to learn it and they're going to retain it so much better.
You know, Sharon, to just follow on to that, we have a friend who did his ancestry and discovered his great uncle or whatever else with a horse thief or okay. But you know what? You understand that you've got good and bad in your history. Yes. And don't be ashamed of your history. It is. It's real.
The other part of that, too, is there were so many colorful characters involved in the American Revolution. I mean, they're just the imagination that can be captured of a kid reading about people like Paul Revere. Now, we're not going to notice that Paul Revere isn't really, it's just that Paul Revere rhymed better with the poem. There was actually another guy that did the ride, but
Dawson,
that's all.
Mr. Dawson.
Yes, Mr. Dawson did the ride.
And
but
there was
anyway.
A female also that did a ride, so we want to remember her.
Who was this?
Betsy.
Betsy Ross?
No, not Betsy. Ross. I don't remember her last name, but she was very young, and she also rode and warned.
I think I read about that recently.
Pamlico County. I want to digress a little bit. I agree with what Sharon's saying, but I think we're missing something really important about our founding of the documents. It doesn't start at school. It starts with the hearts of your family. It starts when they're born. It starts with biblical principles. It starts with morality. It starts with our faith in God, because as you did earlier say that, you know, they didn't necessarily want to separate. There was also a whole other faction that said, no, we want to be separate. We've learned where our rights come from. They come from God, and we don't want Roman law. We want common law. And that's when the movement of all these great documents led up to the Constitution.
And it's, again, it begins at home. Patriotism begins at home. We are blessed to live in a military community, which I really believe New Bern, Havelock really is, but New Bern is also, because patriotism is part, it's in the drinking water here. I mean, it just is. And I think that's wonderful. And I think a lot of the kids that are growing up here don't understand how blessed they are to live in New Bern or Havelock or in Craven County, to learn from the beginning. I mean, you've got the Civil War trail over into Berna. You've got Fort Macon, which wasn't revolutionary, but is part of our history. I mean, there's a lot here.
Oh, now you're going to let me break in right now? Okay. Well, why do I, when I show the 15-second sign, why does everybody stop talking? Folks, I'm just going to ask you to go and hear from our sponsors and supporters, and thank you for staying with us. This is the CCTA Wake Up Call Show.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back.
I want to talk just quickly about knowing what foundations led to our earliest freedom documents. I think our early settlers, they really worked on understanding the law and the Bible and those principles. And so back in the day, we know how far back that goes, Roman law was top down, but Anglo-Saxon law was the common law. That's where the people had to self-govern and rule. And when they got the Bible put into English, that's when they really recognized those principles and laws about self-governing and having to have self-morality. And that's why the forefathers, they did so much study and finding about the Ten Commandments in the Bible and how to put that into our Constitution and how they grew to that point. So once these forefathers realized that these freedoms come from self-governing and being moral and understanding that, and they started working with common law, they go to England, they go to Holland, they get the Bible, the Geneva Bible. If you get a copy of your Geneva Bible today, it has all these documents I've got to quickly just list. And then they come back to England. They risk their lives, everything. They get over here to Plymouth on the Mayflower. They come over to Virginia. They're all coming from different areas for not to separate the church completely from the state, but to separate any church ruling a government, but to have the founding principles, which I know Mary teaches in her 5,000-year leap course, which is really, really cool. And we'll go in that into a minute. But once they get to this new world, you're finding these great documents based on the Magna Carta. Then you have what comes after that, the Mayflower Compact. And then we've got the resolves, you have things coming on, and we got our new Articles of Confederation. And then there were certain states that said, we're not gonna sign up for this Constitution. And do you know why?
Because the Bill of Rights wasn't there yet.
Yep, no Bill of Rights. Nope. They were like, no, 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 no. And I think Massachusetts, Jerry was one of the ones in Massachusetts.
Well, North Carolina was one of the leaders in that movement.
Said, gotta have the Bill of Rights. So I thank our leaders, or not the early workers here in North Carolina, for saying we gotta have that Bill of Rights, which is part of the first 10. So
you know,
I want to talk.
Even though it's been sort of interrupted. The uniqueness of the United States is the fact that people are allowed to own the land.
That's right. The government
doesn't give you use of the land. People own the land. And that is unique. We own property. That is unique in this world.
Nancy referred to the 5,000-year leap, which is a course we're doing, the CCTA is doing on Saturday mornings right now. If you want more information, just email Mary at cctaxpayers.com. But the course lists 28 principles of liberty, and I'm not going to read all of them because I'd put us all to sleep. But number four is, without religion, the government of a free people cannot be maintained. And I think there's some real validity to that. And it also says, the only reliable basis for sound government and just human relations is natural law. A free people cannot survive under a republican constitution unless they remain virtuous and morally strong.
I would say that's something that your organization is trying to push.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, our mission statement as a whole for all of DAR is to preserve history, educate, and patriotism. Mm-hmm. And everything falls underneath those three things as an umbrella. So everything we do falls under the whole purpose of preserving our history, good and bad, so that we do maintain the knowledge that we can learn mm-hmm. from, but also to educate, kind of going back to what Sharon had said, you know, trying to find ways to get our youth interested in learning about our history and the Constitution, and just being proud of being Americans, being proud of what our ancestors actually had to go through. People don't realize that it was not just the men that were fighting. Women were left alone. They were at the mercy of the British Army, which was not kind yes. to the women left alone. So a lot of women chose to travel with their husband and even sometimes take their children. They would live in encampments, they would sew, they would nurse, they would cook, they would do all kinds, sometimes even go out and help with the cannons.
They were
spies, exactly. So women played a huge part. We want our women, our young girls, to know that we are made of strong stuff from the very beginning. We didn't come into this country weak, and we are not weak now. And we need to remind them, women played an important role. We don't have that many named women, but we know that they played such an important role in the Revolution and in all of the documents that maybe we weren't named as women in those documents, but it meant for us also to have those freedoms.
Recently, I substituted for a Sunday school, teenage Sunday school class, because the teacher wasn't there. It's a very small class. And the message of the class was supposed to be, you may think you're insignificant, but God has a plan for your life, and you need to pay attention. And the example that they gave was Squanto. Now, being from Massachusetts, we're very familiar with Squanto, but I did a little research. And some of what we've been told about Squanto just has been shortened and the truth has been avoided. When the pilgrims landed, they were met by Samoset. They were not met by Squanto. Samoset was the head of the Algonquin tribe in Maine, and he was an avid explorer, and he just happened to be wandering around Plymouth when the pilgrims landed, sat down, had a brandy with them, made friends. And Squanto at that point was living with the Massasoit, with Chief Massasoit of the Wampanoag tribe, because Squanto's tribe, the Patuxet Indians, had been wiped out 4 years before. Now, the Patuxet Indians killed any white person that landed at Plymouth. That was their modus operandi. God dispatched with them. And when the pilgrims settled, they settled on land that no one owned, because the other tribes wouldn't settle there because the plague had wiped out the Patuxets. And Squanto found purpose in helping the pilgrims survive that first winter, because they landed in Cape Cod in November and with limited supplies. And if you've ever been through a Massachusetts winter, no, it's not a good idea.
And they didn't fare well. I mean, at least a third of the
yes.
people died.
Mm. But the point is, God made a provision for this country. He made a provision from the beginning. And I believe the number is 3% of Americans supported the Revolution. It's a very low number. And yet we are free today because God said, you may be free. I believe we were supposed to follow his rules a little better than we do. But
biblical, we are freeborn.
But that is a whole nother story. But all the way along, God has provided for the Revolution, for the freedoms that we have, and it behooves us to study what went into those freedoms and to learn our heritage, as you pointed out, and the heritage of, you know, okay, whenever your ancestors got here, they played a role. Some of them may have played a better role than others, but they all played a role. Find that role, put yourself in that history, and learn about the country.
Hey, so one of the things I know, D-A-R, those Daughters of American Revolution, probably the sons too, they have this great, amazing pamphlet that I've seen years ago about the American flags. And I know that some people don't realize all the different American flags. Some are gold fringe, some are the civil, some are the peacetime. And I'm just really grateful that we have those flyers available for teachers. And can you tell us anything about those American flags?
Well, we don't necessarily do that program. However, the I believe it's the Elks Club does Flag Day presentations here in New Bern. Uh-huh. And they will present every flag that this country has had over the years, beginning with the very first.
Seven?
At least. The SAR, Sons of American Revolution, does the color guard for that. And they will actually, in militia and military uniforms, present each and every flag. And that's done at Union Point downtown at the gazebo. And it is a wonderful program that they do. We share with the SAR on a lot of different things. They are very active in the community, promoting as well, patriotism, things like that. And we have such a great relationship. My husband is the vice president of the SAR, so we work very closely with them on a lot of those things. And we will start trying to do new things, gearing up to the 250th, such as maybe massing of the flags. So you'll hear more programs geared up towards the flags of the U.S.
Nice. Now, something that a lot of people won't be aware of is that the Daughters of American Revolution, they also have a group called Children of the American Revolution. So it's a wonderful group for young kids and students to get involved in. Mm-hmm. They learn a great deal of history. They learn about service to their country and their community. And that may be something that some of the listeners might want to check into for their kids.
Exactly. And when we have the time, I'll also go over, we have a program or a committee called the Patriot Chest. It is a patriot education chest. It is a way of getting into the school systems that we can go over a list of things. And in this chest, we have all kinds of things that the children and the teachers might be interested in, such as what did they have for food? Of course, their food was quite different back then. How did they get their food and how was it cooked? Clothing, how did they make their clothing? Where did the fabric come from? Money, did they use English currency, Spanish currency, early American currency? The commodities, the tobacco, the sugar, the tea, the salt, the spices. Post-revolutionary currency, all these things are in the chest. Jobs, did they have common jobs? Did they have jobs outside of their home? Did women have jobs? School and play, what did kids play with? What did they wear, children? Did they wear things the same as the adults? We'll go over all of these things, and this is in the chest. So those are things that if you're interested, contact us because we have this ongoing project.
We're going to take another quick break. Thanks for staying with us.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. East 70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansburg, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Tammy, you have more to add?
I do, and in this Patriot Chest, the other items that we can cover is, for instance, colonial education as far as games and toys. Also, household information. What did the colonists sleep on? Did they have open hearth cooking? Where did they get their food? Did they have a place to shop, or did they just make everything? cleaning. How did they clean? Where did they get their cleaning products? What was their soap made out of? And then we also can cover the Charters of Freedom, the U.S. Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the U.S. Bill of Rights. We have all of that in our chest. Military. We have such things as a powder horn in the chest. We have the Pennsylvania rifle. We have muskets. We have battle flags, Continental Line and militia uniforms that the children can actually try on.
Wow.
We have little girls' clothing to try on. We have the U.S. Constitution, First Amendment, Bill of Rights. We have modes of travel information, modes of communication information, and the speed of communication. And the speed of communication was only as fast as your horse could ride, so just to let you know. And we would love to be able to go into your school, your organization, and you tell us what your audience would like to hear. And it doesn't have to be just children. We can also do this for adults. A lot of adults have shown interest in this, but we have small things like wooden spoons that are made into dolls that was what little girls would play with. We have an opportunity right now. We're going into St. Paul's Catholic Church school, rather, and we also are going into Kingdom Way, the private school at Temple. We're also going into New Life Christian Academy. And so we also, like I said, have gotten other organizations. We're going into the library the farmers market for Constitution Week. And at that time, we'll also have the brochures for Patriot Chest. But we basically, during that week, we'll start handing out the copies of the Constitution, American flag, some little miniature bells for children to ring, and we'd like to educate them, and that's a good way to reach out to them is at the farmers market.
Very good, very good.
Yes.
So you have a booth at the farmers market?
We will have a table, and that is this Saturday. We'll be there from 8 until 2. I will have my colonial dress on, so it's pretty easy to spot me. We also will have some SAR members in their militia uniforms, and that really just, it gets interest. It has people stop. They want to take pictures. They always ask, what are you doing? Where are you from? And that conversation allows us to be able to go into all of the different things that we do through the DAR, SAR. And especially if it's children, because it is Constitution Week, we'll ask them, have you learned about the Constitution? You know, what are you learning? And ask them some questions. But they're more likely to be interested if they can see us. And if it's like a living history.
Yes.
But if it starts by just them saying, oh, I like your dress, or oh, I like that tricorn hat, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Because we learn that a lot of children, myself as a big child, I learn by more tactile means and more visually. So it just sparks more of an interest that way. It's a conversation starter.
It starts a dialogue.
It does. Mm-hmm.
I want to ask a question, and this is maybe an unfair question, but I'm just curious. You mentioned the role of the women in the revolution. Many of them followed their husbands. Many of them played a very important part as spies and other things. In the early days of America, how did a widow survive?
Well, a lot of times that widow would survive by either remarrying, which she normally would look to remarry if her spouse had a brother. And so it was not uncommon for her to marry within that same family, not her family, of course, but his family. Also, a lot of families would take that widow woman in, and they would make sure that she's provided for. Now, if there was no surviving family, it was very difficult for her. Sometimes she would have to work. It depended on where she was, as far as if she was in a very rural area. But it was not uncommon to marry the sister of a brother that might have passed.
And that's a biblical, that's the Old Testament right there.
And too, I mean, the women back then supported one another. If someone were to leave their home and go to an encampment with her spouse, she oftentimes would not take her children with her. She might leave her children with family or friends, and she didn't know when she was going to make it back home or if she would even have a home to come back to. So she didn't know when she was going to see her children again. But she might not have wanted to have put her children in harm's way. So sometimes they might have taken their children, and other times they may not. And like I said, that was very scary to me. I would not have really relished the thought of leaving my children with friends and family for an unknown period of time.
The other realization is most of those children had strong chores to do every day, starting at a very young age.
Exactly.
Now, I'm not talking about child abuse where you're putting them into the labor, but they still had to do their work, and they had to do their part for the family.
They would get up very early and start their chores, and they would come back in, and most every family, no matter what your status was, would have that mush or bread soaked in milk for their breakfast, but they would have their morning chores before they would come back in and start anything else.
And the other part that you illustrated with what you said, there was no need for a government safety net because your community and your family and probably your church provided your safety net so that everyone was looked after and cared for.
Most definitely.
It was part of the culture. It was part of the society. And we've lost that.
Right. Most children that were left without parents were taken in by that family of the deceased parents. Mm-hmm. That was not uncommon. In fact, when you do genealogy, a lot of the things that they have come up with is that they may have been raised thinking that they were a part of this family as far as a child, and come to find out they were maybe a niece or a nephew of that family. Mm-hmm. They weren't even their actual biological child, because that they did kick in and just say, hey, we raise our family. We take care of each other. So you're exactly
right. We found in our family research that when they got land in Ohio as payment for, you know, fighting in the Revolutionary War, the father died and the mother, she became very ill and passed away and left about seven or eight children behind. And there were four different extended members of the family that took those children in and raised them until they became of age when they could take over what their inheritance. Mm-hmm. So they helped to manage the children's inheritance until they became of age. But it was extended family, and I think the children were split up between at least four different families.
And a lot of times you wouldn't even see that person, that child, maybe as they got older, listed in a will, because if they were older than, say, the family that took them in, their children, they would give them their inheritance early so that they could go out on their own. So a lot of times you might not see this bequeathment of goods or monies, not that they didn't receive it, but sometimes they would get that at an age where they would take it and then, like I said, they would go to another state or whatever. So I had that happen. We think that we had a child that was older, and then the father remarried and had younger children. So when this oldest child was ready to go on his own, he took his inheritance early. So therefore, he wasn't listed in the will because he had already received his inheritance.
So what you have there is a society that's looking after itself.
Exactly.
Self-government.
And,
now, this
folks,
is,
that was the welfare system of the day.
It was.
It was a much more successful welfare mm-hmm. system than what we have now.
Yeah. When we first started, like Mayflower, mm-hmm. and it landed up there, and they did what Britain said to do.
Yeah, they did socialism.
They did socialism, which you would probably call communism now, wasn't known back then. They said, oh, it's a communal effort. They what, lost half their people?
They nearly starved to death.
Mm-hmm. And they said, that's it. That's no more. And that's why we have those forefathers that
and
made
James,
that right.
They Jamestown it. Was the same charter, and they tried the same thing, and they failed. People starved, and they discovered that the free market is the best way to feed and take care of a society.
Now, as you get into Ohio and Indiana after the Revolution, you would see where they would set up their government, where they had to elect a sheriff. They had to go find and recruit a physician for the county. They had to get a doctor. They had to set up schools in all the townships, and they also had to set up what they some people would call a poorhouse, or they had to have a place to put the widows who were destitute, or the widowers. If you became destitute and you had no family to take you in, they did have to create a place. They had to create an orphanage, and they had to create some place for the adults to go to. So you see that very beginning of government start taking place in the very early 1800s. It's fascinating how we've turned it into such a conglomerate, but so much of that remains, and so much of that has gone by the wayside.
And you know, when we do it now, it's with strings attached, so...
With strings attached, and taking it away from local communities, the county level, putting it on a state level or on sometimes a federal level, and that's how we have lost touch of that community taking care of community. You're going to find it more difficult for family to take in those children in a time of need because the social services comes in, it's a government organization, and they kind of like suck the children up. And the family, they're cut off from that a lot of times. So it's sad to see some things have worked well and some things haven't.
One of the things to add to what you just mentioned, in the early days of America, you could not settle a town in Connecticut unless you had a pastor.
Correct.
Justice of the peace. And some places you had to have justice of the peace.
No, well, this in Connecticut, yep. You had to have a pastor.
Very good. We're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. And again, thank you for staying with us. And thank you for listening to the Daughters of the American Revolution and talking about the Constitution Week.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Speaking of all those communities that were so important to be part of our heritage and, you know, in their hearts, you know, they really wanted to keep their rights, keep their God, keep their faith and worship how they wanted to and look out for their own community. It goes back to those same principles they put in the Constitution. I mean, poor Moses, there he was with all these problems. you got to do this. I need that. I need help here. And he was so overwhelmed that I think it's in the book of Deuteronomy, but I know it's the Old Testament. And they set up what they call the 10-man concept. And that's how we started saying, first in your home, then your community, then your county, your state. you know, and then the federal government. And so that's why the forefathers, when they did this Constitution, they wrote a Constitution for the United States to rein in their powers so that the states could do what they wanted and the people, the grassroots, we the people had the right. It is, I just want to make a quick point of September 17th, which is this month, 1787, that is when they signed the Constitution. And what a lot of people don't also know is the Judicial Act of 1789 was also in September when they set up the court system, the judicial powers. But community and school, all of that was so important.
That in Amendment 10 of your Constitution and your Bill of Rights, Amendment 10, Rights Reserved to States, that was passed in 1791, and it states that the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people. Try to keep government as close to the people as possible. And Amendment 10 covers that.
Now, that's referred to as nullification. Now, we understand that the federal government has greatly overreached its original intent often, and we somehow have to go back to understanding how do we rightly fight back to our government and say, get back to where you were founded. Because again, like as you said, get it as close to the people as possible. I know my welfare. I know who needs welfare, and I know who's abusing the welfare system. It's got to be close to us. It can't be somebody in Washington, D.C. deciding that for
also,
us.
Also, the other thing about the welfare system is, if I am in charge of, say, five clients, and I know that if I get all of them off welfare, I lose my job, what is my incentive to help them get off welfare? We're defeating ourselves by the way we've set up the program. We've created a bureaucracy that will fight to maintain itself rather than fight to achieve what it was established to achieve.
Are y'all familiar with the Act of 1871?
No.
Well, you may want to
tell us more.
It was an act to provide a government for the District of Columbia. And that was at a time after the Civil War when our finances were pretty broke, got a lot of money we owe. A lot of us can relate to that today. And they set up what they called the Corporation of America to control the government in D.C. That has expanded today. And I think if we go back and do our own self-study, our own self-government, go back and see what really happened, you know, between Jefferson and then get to Ulysses Grant and read those Federalist and Anti-Federalist papers and see what they were fighting over and what brought us to where we are today.
Well, I think one of the biggest problems we have today is the 17th Amendment, which is the direct election of senators.
Oh, my Lord. Yes.
The founding fathers knew what they were doing. And we have gotten in trouble every time we've tried to undo it or change it. And originally, the senators were appointed by their state legislators.
To represent the state's
interests.
To represent the state.
And they could be recalled if they did something that did not represent their state. And the person that I'm going to pick on for a minute is Joe Manchin, who voted for the Inflation Reduction Act. Now, if senators were appointed by their legislature and could be recalled, he would have been recalled as soon as he voted for that, because it was against the interest of West Virginia. And he was promised a loosening of oil leases or energy leases, which never happened. Again, when we put more power into the federal government and less power into the states, we hurt ourselves.
It's true. That's kind of what the Act of 1871 did. A lot of people don't know. You look at your initial constitution, and it says it's for the United States, the lowercase United States of America. And yet with the Act of 1871, you get to D.C., And it says, it's an entirely like new document, basically. It says it's the formed corporation of the United States. So that's something that we're not prepared to talk about today, but that's something that everybody needs to do their own study on and find truth. And remember, we want to go back to the biblical founding documents and see where we went awry, try to fix that somehow in our own hearts, and go forward.
Well, I think from the DAR, I think the biggest thing that you guys are campaigning for, let's go back and get our kids, our adults, everybody to read our historic documents, to understand what they meant, the struggles that they went through to appoint representatives. Now, again, we're not a democracy. We are a representative republic that we, as an individual area, democratically elect a person to represent our interests, not to represent the interests of some big corporations or some lobbyists or whatever else, but to represent the interests of the people that they belong to. And the senators used to represent the interests of the state, meaning the state's government and stuff like that. But we need to go back to those founding documents. We need to educate people. You know, you're not going to learn that strictly on the internet.
It's we, the people that formed this union. Remember our grievances. We started with grievances and we...
How many times have you heard a politician say, this is a threat to our democracy?
Oh, and they're so wrong.
I want to scream. We don't have a democracy.
We are a republic that has a democratic way of government.
Yes.
And by democratic, I mean the power of the people to choose. And somehow I just feel that my power to choose has been chipped away and chipped away and chipped away. And it's getting to the place where I don't want to sound like a radical, but I'm like the guy who stuck his head out the window and said, I've had enough.
Yes. And again, what you are doing in terms of teaching children is one of the answers to the problem.
Exactly.
Because if they don't know what their rights are, they're not going to defend them.
The Constitution is a wonderful, well thought out, people got together and not only they discussed it, but they argued over it and they debated over it and at some point they finally said, yes, we can come to agreement with that. Mm-hmm. So it encompasses a great plethora of ideas and thinking and people with different lifestyles and histories to come together as a country of 50 sovereign states that has broken down into county governments and then into villages and cities. And we have to understand that this Constitution is supposed to be for the people, not a government structure, but the people. And I think the more people actually study the actual Constitution, I think the more they'll realize that we have starting to stray too far from this.
Yes.
And that we, the people, need to get our power back when it comes to the decision making.
Yes.
And that power comes when we go out to vote. Now, you need to take on that responsibility to go and vote when you have the opportunity. You need to take the responsibility of finding out where the candidates actually stand. You need to take the responsibility to find out how much did they live up to what they promised to do.
And to educate and prepare the young generations now to grow up and take on the responsibility of running for government seats.
Yes.
Right now, we're not preparing them to be part of the running of our government. We're not preparing them to be governors. We're not preparing them to be senators. We're not preparing them to be representatives in the House. We are failing to do that. And so it's the time is imperative now for the future of this country, for the future of your state, for the future of your county, to educate the children now on what the Constitution is and how a republic runs in a democratic manner.
Yes.
And that is our goal as the DAR, is to educate those that are not of voting age, to start them early in actually knowing what the Constitution is. It's not threatening. It is their power. Knowledge is power. And we want all kids to know that there's power in that Constitution, and we want them to understand it. We want them to be proud of those forefathers who actually put their lives on the line when they signed that document that they worked to put in place for us.
And they worked hard. They worked hard at doing that.
It is a birthright. So just to remind you all, Constitution Week is September 17th to 23rd. We will be distributing materials to schools, making presentations, and it ends with a bell ringing on Friday, Thursday the 21st at 4 o'clock, which is a symbolic gesture back to the original bell ringing when the signing of the Constitution was finished.
We'll be at the History Center on that day with our bells. So if you want to show up with your bells, please do, and ring them with us.
If we want to get involved in DAR, find out, you know, do I have relatives that are ancestors? How do we get involved? Who do we contact? How do we find you?
The easiest way to get in touch with us is through our Facebook page, Richard Dobbs Spade. Daughters of the American Revolution. To become a member, you just have to be 18 years old and be able to trace your lineage back to someone who either fought in the Revolutionary War or supported it. And we have genealogists in our organization to help you do that.
Wow.
Thank you very much.
Or over the age of 18.
I just want to remind people that Tuesday night, our guest speaker at Stanley Hall will be Letitia Grady, of cryptocurrency management. And she will be talking to us about cryptocurrency, how it works, what to avoid, what not to avoid, and everything we always wanted to know. The meeting is at Stanley Hall at 7 o'clock. I think it will be a very informative evening, and I want to thank the DAR for coming and doing this show and telling us about what you do and the things that you stand for. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for continuing that uphill fight. Again, thank you folks for listening to the CCTA Wake Up Call.
Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.